Well, God bless you guys. It's always a privilege, and I'm always so thankful to have the opportunity to share the word, something that I love so deeply. And I'm also thankful for all of you guys. I can't see your faces, but I can see your faces. And what a joy that is to know we have family all over the world, huh? So, well, we'll get right into it because I feel like I'm loaded for bear tonight. I have something to share with you that I'll entitle, Will History Repeat Itself? You'll understand by the time I get to the end. So, well, I have a question for you. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone but your mind was a million miles away? Perhaps you are having lunch with a group of friends, and while they are chatting, you are pondering a problem you're trying to solve at work. Or the intense discussion you had with someone early in the morning is replaying in your mind. And then suddenly you snap to and realize that everybody is staring at you. You've been brought into the conversation at the lunch table, but you were totally unaware of it. Sometimes, just for fun, when I'm talking to my kids, I'll throw in a nonsensical statement just to make sure they're listening to me. It might go something like this: "How you doing today, Mom?" "Doing great. I'm almost in Wyoming now." "What?" In actuality, you know, Wyoming is not that far from Colorado Springs, so it's really not that far from the truth. But that way I know that they're listening, because sometimes in our conversations, we can be so focused on our own agenda that we fail to actually hear what the other person is saying. We're just waiting for a decent pause so that we can proceed with what we have on our minds. This aspect of human nature is something that God has had to deal with for millennia. He would speak through his prophets, through signs and wonders, and through other phenomena to get people's attention, and yet oftentimes the people did not hear what he was saying. In Genesis 3:15, he makes the promise of sending a redeemer. It reads, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God promised a redeemer would come to pay for the horrible sin that Adam had just committed, plunging man into the throes of sin and death. Apparently, as the years went on, people heard the "bruise thy head" part, but the "bruise thy heel" part, not so much. The Old Testament is laced with prophecies about who this Redeemer would be. It was declared that he would come from the tribe of Judah and be a descendant of King David. It was also foretold that he would destroy the works of the devil. And if you read Psalm 2, you see described there his strength, and that he would break the heathen with a rod of iron. What they failed to recognize was the truth that the Savior would first suffer to pay for the sin of mankind before he would be manifested as a great conqueror. How long had Israel been looking for their Messiah? How long had they prayed for the one who would bring them freedom from the oppression that they had suffered at the hands of the Gentile nations? By the time the Apostle Paul came along, the Messiah had actually come in the person of Jesus Christ and had paid the immeasurable price to free mankind from sin. Sin, the greatest oppressor of all. But they did not even recognize him when he came. They were looking for a great military conqueror, not understanding that the power of sin and death needed to be broken before military conquest would have any lasting effect. So, I say all of that to set the stage for a message that Paul gave many years later, after the Lord Jesus Christ had fulfilled his mission as the suffering Savior. He's speaking to the Judeans who came to hear him teach when he arrived in Rome to appear before Caesar. So let's start in Acts chapter 28, verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, that they will hear it. Check that out. Paul told them about Jesus Christ, but they were too dull of hearing to hear it. They had their own ideas about what the Messiah would be, and Jesus didn't fit the narrative. Because of that, they were unable to see and hear the magnificent truth of what the Messiah had done for them. So Paul went to the Gentiles with the truths regarding the Messiah, but far more than what was written in the Old Testament. The Lord's mission as the suffering Savior had been fulfilled, and Paul would go on to teach about what that meant for the believer now. In the present day, almost 2,000 years later, we are watching and waiting for our Lord to return to gather us to our heavenly home prior to his return to the earth as the conquering Savior. I have become very aware that for many people, what that will look like doesn't line up with what they see. So they are as oblivious to his soon return as the Judeans were about his first coming. History certainly does repeat itself. There's a truth that Paul revealed to the believers in the book of Colossians that I want to look at that will hopefully make you excited to watch and wait for the Lord's return with renewed excitement. At the time that Paul first shared this truth, it would have been hundreds of years before the Lord's return, but I'm willing to bet that it caused great excitement in the hearts of the people who actually heard the words he spoke, because it didn't fall on dull of hearing ears. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, the hope of the good news which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What? Christ? The Spirit of the Anointed One in me? Can you imagine what it was like to hear that for the first time? These Gentiles who became believers and members of the body of Christ, who were outside of the pale of the chosen people of God, who were the Israelites, Christ in them. And I have a hope to be glorified just like Christ was. I'm sure that there were people present when these words were spoken who could hardly contain themselves. And yet, they all fell asleep in Christ and are awaiting his return. Let us, who are alive and are eagerly waiting to hear the sound of that trumpet any day now, thrill at the words that have been spoken to us. Let us not fall into the same trap as did the people during the time of the Lord's first coming and fail to recognize what God's word says to us and about us, because we have become dull of hearing. Let us watch and anticipate the return of our Lord to gather us any day. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 6 it reads, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. What are we watching for? Well, what was the context of 1 Thessalonians 4? It was the return of Christ to gather the saints. And we'll close in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Let's not let history repeat itself in our lives. We will watch. We will be waiting for his return. And while we're waiting, we will speak the words of life that will allow others to be born again and also then look for his return. God bless you.
Thank you, Jan. You want to close with prayer, please?
Sure. Dear Father, we love you so much, and we're so thankful, Father, for all that you've done for us in Christ. We couldn't have done it for ourselves, and he's the only one who could have done it for us. And we're so thankful, Father, that you didn't stop there, but you gave us the very Spirit that energized him to energize us so that we could go out and we could be effective ministers of your word. I thank you, Father, for all of those who are on the call tonight and for all those who will hear the words of truth in the days to come until the Lord's return. And we look forward, Father, to that great big party in the sky when we all get to be together in the clouds in our new glorified bodies forever to be with the Lord. We thank you, God, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.